going to be skipping around a lot today. We're in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. There's Bibles by your chair if you would like to take one. We have a page number 1136, it looks like. Please stand for the reading of the word. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Let's skip over 28. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. These are the very words of God. Please be seated.
We're continuing a series on what I consider the most important topics in Christianity, and today we want to talk about spiritual gifts. I kind of designed this series on how God revealed these things to me. And, of course, one of the first gifts of the Spirit that I experienced was when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I preached on this. It was one of the topics I preached on, and you can get that sermon and listen to it on iTunes or under Covington Cornerstone Church, or you can go to our website under the Believe tab, and you can get all our sermons there, and there's one called The Baptism in the Holy Spirit. When I received my supernatural language from the Lord, my personal devotional language, and it wasn't too long after that I was at a retreat up in the mountains. The Lord led me to this retreat up in the mountains, and there was a lot of young people there. And there was a man there that had a ministry in healing. And I was sitting right in the front row, and there was we had a Jesus bluegrass band there called the Heavenly Hills Brothers. And the Heavenly Hills Brothers, they were really good. They wrote their own music. They were just dynamic. In fact, later they came and played at my wedding with Gail and out in her backyard in Seattle. And, of course, these were all hippie guys that met the Lord, you know. And one of them had an eye that was clouded over and something wrong with it. He couldn't see out of it. And they asked for people to come up for prayer, and he came up. And I was sitting right in the front row, and I'm a brand new believer, and I'd never been to anything like this before in my life. And this guy prayed for this guy's eye. And I sat right there, right directly across from him, and I watched that eye change right in front of me. In fact, when it happened, I my mind said, that can't be. That can't be. But I watched it, and I saw it. And so that was my introduction from the Lord to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I've been fascinated and drawn to it ever since. That must have been what it was like for when people watched Jesus. And, of course, we just had a healing conference here not too long ago with Mike Evans, and we had people here that were healed too, right before our eyes. So I want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul is the one who writes about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he has many lists. There's no exhaustive list, but some of those I wanted to bring up there this morning. The functional gifts are in Romans 12, 6 through 8. And I may do another sermon maybe next Sunday. I'm debating that right at the moment. These gifts are what our basic motivation. Every Christian who has the Holy Spirit in them, and if you've asked Jesus in your heart, you've got the Holy Spirit in you, operate from one of these motivational, functional gifts. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, administration, and mercy. Everybody here that has Jesus in their heart operates, is motivated by one of these gifts. And we may talk about that. We're not going to talk about it this morning. Okay, the next one. Ministerial gifts. These are equipping gifts. These are the gifts where God calls certain individuals. The first list, everybody. The second list, some. Are called to these gifts. And these gifts are to equip the body of Christ. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. I'm operating in pastor-teacher gift right now. Mark, where are you? Right there. Mark's got his hand up. Mark is sensing that God is calling him, Mark Kennedy, our youth director, possibly to one of these gifts right now. Okay? Certain people are called to those gifts. And then there's the third list. I break Paul's list down into these three categories. And then the freeing gifts that I want to talk about today. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit that anybody who has the Holy Spirit within them can manifest, but only as God directs. You can't do them at will, with the exception of your spiritual language for your private devotions. All the rest of them are just done when God decides. It's His decision. He manifests them when He wants them, and they're to set God's people free. They're the freeing gifts, to free us from the powers of darkness. Now, I break them down into three. There's nine of them, and I break them down into three categories of three. The first category, the gifts of revelation, the power to know. And there's three of them, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. And I want to just talk about each one just a little bit. Word of knowledge. Now, when Mike Evans was here, for our healing conference, he did a whole little seminar on the word of knowledge. How many of you were here and were experienced that? You'll see there's a lot of hands up. And many people, how many of you had a word of knowledge? Okay, look at we had people that experienced that gift for the first time. A word of knowledge is when God supernaturally gives us information, past, present, or future, that we did not learn. It's something God gives to us. Now, Jesus operated in these, and by the way, all of these gifts, with the exception of languages and interpretation of languages, you can find in the Old Testament. And the others just in the New Testament. So, seven of those you can find in the Old Testament. Nine of them you can find in the New Testament. And word of knowledge, we see Jesus operate in the word of knowledge. One time he was coming into Jericho, Luke 19, and there was this little tax collector couldn't see Jesus, and he'd heard about Jesus, and he wanted to, and tax collectors were hated, kind of like today, and so he climbed up a tree so he could see Jesus, and Jesus walked into town with this big entourage around him, because Jesus always had a huge crowd around him because people got healed. And he walked underneath this tree, and he looked up, and he said, Zacchaeus. He knew the guy's name. That was a word of knowledge that God gave Jesus right at that moment. I was in a Bible study group, and we were closing in prayer. I was a young pastor, and I heard the Lord say to me inside. He doesn't speak to me here. He speaks to me here, and I heard him say, somebody here has a bad earache. That's a word of knowledge. Okay? Word of wisdom. Now, word of wisdom and word of knowledge operate together. A lot of these gifts work together. And word of wisdom is when God tells you what to do with a word of knowledge. When you get a word of knowledge from God, and God does it differently with all of us, depending on our personalities. Sometimes people see a vision. Sometimes people hear a word. I've never heard an audible word, but I know people that have. Sometimes he'll show you a picture in your mind. But when he does, you need to ask him, what do you want me to do with it? Now, Jesus knew what to do with Zacchaeus. He said to him, Zacchaeus, get down here because today I'm going to have lunch at your house. And so that was the word of wisdom. God not only showed Jesus that Zacchaeus was up in the tree, but told him what to do with it. And later, Zacchaeus invited all of his hated tax collector friends, those were the only friends he had, and had a big lunch for Jesus, which, by the way, Jesus got severely criticized for attending, as he always did. And then the word of wisdom. For me, I was in that prayer group. I got that word of knowledge that there was an earache, and I knew the Lord wanted me to ask the group if somebody there had an earache. So I said, I just sense that somebody here has a really bad earache. Okay, that was a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. What do you do with the knowledge? Discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is when God supernaturally tells you what is motivating a person or event. What is motivating a person or event? I'm sure that all of you have had an experience where you just knew somebody that you were talking with was a Christian. You ever had that happen to you? Maybe a waiter or somebody that you ran into, and you just sensed in your heart that this was a Christian. Has that ever happened to you? Let me see your hands if that's happened to you. Okay? Are you guys awake out there this morning? Okay. That's discerning of spirits. That's the Holy Spirit in you telling you, witnessing to the Holy Spirit in somebody else. Now, it can also go the other way. You ever had an experience where you thought, you know, I think Satan's in this guy? You ever had that happen to you? You know, Satan's involved in this situation or in this person. I can see it in their eyes. You ever had that happen to you? That's discerning of spirits. Jesus operated in this. You remember one time in Mark 8, Jesus had just told him that he was going to be arrested, he was going to suffer, he was going to die, he was going to be raised on the third day. That was, by the way, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And Peter says, no way, Jesus. He rebuked Jesus. No way that's going to happen to you. Because he thought Jesus was going to be the king and was going to overthrow the Romans. And remember what Jesus said to him when he said that? Get behind me, Satan, because you don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. Okay, Jesus knew, discerning the spirits, that at that moment, Peter was being influenced by Satan. One time I had, I invited some guys from the ship over to the house for a Bible study. And we had a guy on the ship that was a Satan worshiper. And I'd run into these guys every once in a while, and he came to that event. Now, we knew he was a Satan worshiper, but I had some missionaries there that night, Mom and Pop Pacerati. They ran a serviceman center overseas, and a lot of us knew them because our ship had stopped there, but they didn't know this guy. And he walks through the door, and Mom Pacerati said to him, so how long have you been serving Satan? She had discerning of spirits. She knew that this guy was operating by Satan. Okay, so those are the gifts of revelation, the power to know. And if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you have the possibility of having these gifts, but they generally show up more after the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is released in you, empowering you. Okay, you got to listen to that sermon. Okay, so the next group. The gifts of power, the power to do, healing, miracles, faith. We just did the power to know, now the power to do, healing. The supernatural curing of illness without human skill or knowledge. Now, I believe all healing takes place from God. In fact, any good doctor will tell you that I cut, God heals. But we're not talking about the normal healing process. We're talking about a supernatural gift of healing in a moment of time without human skill or knowledge. Jesus spent 90% of his time healing. 90%. And you remember there was this woman. She had an issue of bleeding. Mark chapter 5. And she had, been going on for 12 years. And she'd spent all of her money at the doctors. Sound familiar? And she was no better. She was actually worse. And she believed that if she could get up and touch Jesus, she'd be healed. Do you remember that story? And so she gets up there in the crowd, forces her way through the crowd, grabs Jesus, and she's healed. That's a gift of healing. Now, when I was in that group, that prayer group, and I got the word of knowledge, there was an earache, I got the word of wisdom to ask the group, and by the way, nobody said anything. And that happens to me every once in a while. I get the word of knowledge, and I'll mention it, and nobody says anything. And then I start doubting myself. Well, I guess I didn't hear it right, or I didn't hear God, or the devil will come and say, hey, stupid, you know. He likes to talk like that. And who do you think you are, you know, that you know things? And so I go, well, I guess I blew this one. So everybody left. And by the way, you have to try it. You're going to make mistakes. I've made plenty of mistakes in these gifts of the Spirit. But that's how you learn. And so everybody left. And then this one guy comes back in. And he says, hey, I got the earache. How did you know that? And when he did that, I knew that God wanted to heal him. And so I prayed for him, and his ear was healed right there. Right there. Okay, miracles. Miracles are when God decides to suspend the laws of nature. There's a great book on miracles by C.S. Lewis that I recommend to you called Miracles. And, you know, all the laws of nature are is God doing the normal way God does things. Gravity is just God's normal way to do things. But God can change gravity anytime he wants. Now, remember one time Jesus walked on water. Okay? He suspended the laws of gravity and the laws of nature. One time he made water into, okay, those are miracles. Miracles. One time I was out hunting. Some of you know that I like to hunt, and we got some hunters in this crowd this morning. And I was way out there, and way out there, far away, out of cell range, all by myself. I had dropped my hunting partner off in one area. I had driven to another area. And we were a long ways away. I mean, it would take me forever to walk out of where I was at, and my car would not start. That's like the hunter's worst nightmare, okay? You're out there, far away, no cell phone range, and your car will not start. And I mean, I raised that hood, and I tried everything I could think of, and I was in deep trouble. And and I didn't know, had no way to get a hold of my partner. So I remember just praying my guts out, okay? Laying hands on that engine. And I went and I tried the key one more time, and that sucker came on. I know that was a miracle. In fact, I drove that thing for 3 hours back home and would not turn it off. I went straight to the dealer. And the dealer could never find anything wrong with that car, and it never happened again. But that was a miracle, okay? And I've had God do that for me other times with automobiles. Faith, a gift of faith. That's when all of a sudden, now there's all faith, we all have faith here that believe in Jesus, but we're talking about a supernatural impartation of gift, a gift of faith in a moment of time that tells you that God's going to do something. Now, Jesus operated in faith all the time. And one time he was, Lazarus, his good friend, had died. And he was over at Lazarus, and his sister came up to Jesus and said, "Oh, Jesus, if you would have only been here, my brother wouldn't have died." You remember that story? That was Mary. And Jesus said to her, remember what he said to her? "Your brother will rise again." Jesus had a gift of faith that Lazarus was going to be healed in the grave. When that person came back in the room and said to me, "That's my ear. How did you know that?" I had a gift of faith. In fact, all these gifts operate together, and almost always, when you get a word of knowledge about healing, you'll get a gift of faith with it, and a word of wisdom. Those all three of them are together. They're hard to separate them out. But I just knew, every time I get a word of knowledge about healing, I know that God's going to heal them. It's a gift of faith. And when I prayed for them, they get healed. It doesn't happen a lot. It's rare. But when it does happen, it's really, really cool. Okay? The gift of faith. All right, let's go to the next ones. The last three. The gifts of utterance. The power to say. And all of a sudden, my marker's there. It is. Okay, the gifts of utterance, the power to say. Prophecy, languages, or glossolalia. You'll hear tongues used. Tongues is the old English word for languages. So I use languages. Prophecy, languages, interpretational languages. Prophecy is God speaking his mind to us in the language of the people. For us, that would be English. Okay, God speaking his mind in the language of the people. Everything Jesus said was prophecy. Amen? He was always speaking to us the mind of God. The whole Bible, this whole book is prophecy. The whole thing. It's God speaking to us his mind. Okay, sometimes we have that pause after our singing time, and we're looking for people to possibly bring forth prophecy. And we, in some of our services lately, we're starting to see that. Now, let me just tell you that we're in the baby stage of that. We are learning that. And we make mistakes. So please have patience with us as we wait upon that. But we've had some individuals who have had the courage to speak up and think that they're bringing, feel like they're bringing to us a message from God's mind. Throw that scripture up, Jim, that I had up there. Paul also said, when you come together, everyone has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a language, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. And during that pause time after the singing, you may have a revelation. You may have a vision. Speak it out. You may have I'll talk about this in a second, a language or interpretation. You may have a prophecy. We're going to try to keep a microphone here, and maybe we're going to buy another one and put it in the back. Or you can just speak loud, or you can go get the microphone and speak it out, because it's to strengthen the church. And we have to weigh what is said to make sure it's from the Lord. Okay? So, the gift of prophecy. Let's go back. Languages. There's two kinds of languages. There's private devotional language, and there's a gift of languages in an assembly like this. Now, we haven't had that happen to us yet, but I have witnessed it and seen it and experienced it in the past, where suddenly somebody out here who has their own private devotional language, a supernatural language that God will give you, if you ask him. I have one. I use it all the time in my private devotions. I don't know what I'm saying, but I know it's praise to God. If you hear my sermon on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I talk more about it. But if the Lord moved me to speak out in that language in this assembly, that would be a gift of languages. And it always, always has to be interpreted in the language of the people. Not translated, interpreted. And when it is interpreted in English in this assembly, it's equal to prophecy. It's the same as prophecy. So stand by, maybe down the road one of these Sundays, that'll happen. Somebody will stand up and speak out in their language. And then we all have to ask God, give us the interpretation, Lord, in English. And hopefully somebody in the crowd, has anybody ever experienced this before in any assembly they've been in? Okay, we got a couple of hands out there, people that have experienced that. Okay, so those are the gifts of utterance, the power to say. Now, Paul begins this whole thing by saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. I'm preaching this sermon because I don't want you to be ignorant, to not understand these things. For some of you, this is completely new stuff. And then he ends this by saying, eagerly desire these gifts. These are freeing gifts. These gifts are to set God's people free. Let me tell you, when that guy got that earache healed, he had great relief. And he went on to become one of the leaders in my church and began to move in these gifts himself as a result of that experience and helped other people. And when you see people get set free, like that poor woman who was bound by Satan, who came up and grabbed the back of Jesus' cloak and was set free from that. That's very, very important stuff, church. Very important stuff. And it brings people to Christ. When I saw that guy's eye healed, that drew me to the Lord and to his power. So, let's bring that book up in conclusion, Jim. This is a great book from Dennis and Rita Bennett. Dennis was a close friend of mine. He's now in heaven. But he wrote this book, The Holy Spirit in You, A Guide to Spirit-Filled Life. One of the best books you can buy about this. He goes into detail on all of these gifts. So eagerly desire these gifts, church. Pray about them. Ask God to use you in them. Be open to them in your spiritual life so that God can use you to help his people. Band, would you come and close us?